Welcome to Nevada Wild. Jerry Evans for 99.1 FM Talk. Well, most states have done their application drawings and released the results, especially here in the West. Were you lucky? Well, I was. I got a bull elk tag in Utah with a muzzleloader. Now, I don't have the statistics available to me, but it is easier to draw a tag with a muzzleloader. Probably a little easier with archery being number one, muzzleloader being number two. And it worked for me this year. And with full disclosure, I bought a Knight muzzleloader, and I think it was 05 or 06. It's an extremely accurate rifle, but I haven't pulled it out in 14, 15 years or so to shoot it. So for all things muzzleloader, we're going to bring on Justin Perry. He is with Knight Rifles, and he joins us on Nevada Wild. Justin, first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys, too.
How about a little history on the rifle?
Well, Tony Knight, he's a great man. You know, we lost him to cancer. He's no longer with us, but he was a phenomenal innovator for what he did. He was years ahead of his time designing the inline, you know, style muzzleloaders that we use today, and we still build our platforms off of today. Tony lived in a little town there, just right across the Missouri line, just south of Centerville in Iowa. He started building these, you know, just what he wanted to do was, he had hunted with a traditional muzzleloader side hammer for a long time, and his goal was to try to figure out a way to make the process of igniting the powder and the primer a lot easier. Setting that up with a side hammer, you strike the primer, the fire goes down, it makes a left or a right angle, goes into the powder charge. Well, that, you know, that angle would defer the flame in somewhat. So he wanted to figure out a way to make it a lot easier to use, more feasible, and to work with modern ignition setups, and a lot of the newer stuff at the time was starting to make its grounds. 777 black powders, you know, were starting to get better. So he just designed the first, you know, model, which was the MK85. It's the MK. A lot of guys think that it stands for Michael Knight, but it was actually, the MK actually stood for Martha Knight, which was Tony's wife. There's actually all the models he ever made between the MK, the LK, the BK. All those were actually named either after his kids and, you know, his family members. So, and that's how he kind of done that. But he started, you know, the MK85 in his basement. He just designed it, started making a few here and there, and he was literally driving around Iowa and selling them out of the trunk of his car.
Huh.
And everybody started seeing how accurate these guns were. It went from, you know, your traditional side hammer, you know, 50 to 100 yards, you were pushing it. Well, these guns started carrying, you know, great accuracy at 100 yards, 150, 200-yard accuracies, and it was great. So a lot of guys were, you know, chomping at the bit wanting to get a Knight rifle from Tony. So, you know, the more busier he got, he decided, you know, I need a shop. I need something I can, you know, work in, set up, buy machines to run this stuff. So he moved to Centerville, Iowa, and bought a little shop there. And over the years, it just exploded over time. He got in with really good, you know, people that knew the marketing level, because Tony was a real good innovator. He knew how to make stuff work. He was a tinker. He wasn't the greatest at marketing. So he got in with some guys that just knew the market, knew, you know, Johnny Morris, knew the guys at Cabela's, knew everything about how to get that product out there. And once those guys got involved, Knight Rifles, you know, stormed the black powder industry to the point, you know, they were shipping tractor trailer loads every month out to, you know, dealers, Bass Pro, Cabela's, all your big stores were flooded with them. And we were, you know, Knight was the only inline style muzzleloader at the time that was, you know, premier. There were some other smaller guys. Well, CVA started getting involved in Thompson Center, and then all these other guys started stepping in and making them. And a lot of guys, you talk to a lot of these guys in the industry, they'll look back, and Tony Knight was the godfather of inline muzzleloading. So that's kind of where we started at. And over the years, it's had its ups and downs to the point where we've, you know, changed locations from Iowa to Decatur, Alabama, places like that. Back in 09, the company that I actually worked for, Plastic Industries, we came in and bought out Knight, brought it up here to Athens, and kind of got out of that big, huge industry of, you know, a lot of engineers, a lot of guys, and just a lot of work that was being done that really wasn't working the greatest, and kind of took it back to, you know, family-owned company, put the quality back in it, you know, 100% American-made, high-quality end rifles, and kind of to the point now where we're stretching the realms of what black powder muzzleloaders, you know, rifles can really do.
I'm sure, Justin, there's been a lot of innovation since 04, 05 when I purchased mine, but I will say back then, with open sights, it depends on your eyesight, but just an extremely accurate rifle, and it used Green Mountain barrels, and does the company still use those?
Yes, sir, we do. We've stuck to what we know's best and what works the best for us, and Green Mountain has always been a reliable company. They're American-made for one. And they just build such a super high-end quality muzzleloader barrel.
One of the things about the ignition system, for example, I'm assuming, did Tony invent this or come up with this? You essentially use a shotgun primer to ignite.
Yeah, well, the 209 shotgun primer ignition style system came about in like the mid-90s, roughly 94, 95, 96. That's when people started testing in the waters with that. And what you're gaining with the 209, a lot of people, you know, already know this, is you get more fire to the powder. It's more reliable. It's more consistent. I don't want to say Tony, was the one who first come up with, using a 209 shotgun primer in a muzzleloader, but he was the first one to design a proprietary system that we use in our gun still today. Whether it be, you know, their orange jacketed discs, was the first design, and that was pretty much a housing that would hold the 209 primer and retain it into the breech area for better ignition and a lot easier to use. And then probably in the early 2000s, we started the design of the red jacket, the red full plastic jacket. And what that did was it took an exposed 209 primer, which is susceptible to moisture and weather and elements, and made it 100% weatherproof.
Let's start with being new to black powder rifles, or maybe somebody like me, many, many years sitting there and getting the unsuccessfuls in the application for your hunting draw, and you may want to consider getting a muzzleloader for next year to increase your odds. What would somebody need to know or ask? Maybe somebody just wants to get back to maybe old school shooting.
Yeah.
What should somebody know or ask at a dealer?
Well, the big thing is what you want to look at is if you're getting into it, and let's say you're either in your state or you've got drawed for a good hunt, you know, a big hunt. You want to make sure you check your regs of what you can use, whether it be the 209 ignition, exposed ignition, scopes, no scopes, you know, open sight, stuff like that, because that's going to be the big thing that you'll need to know up front. You don't want to get a muzzleloader with the wrong setup and you can't use it there for sure.
One of them, if I can, to jump in here, most states don't allow magnification. Some do. But one of the things that I think that is important to find out is to make sure as to whether or not you can load from the breech or from the barrel.
Well, the thing is any muzzleloader season, requirement by muzzleloader, if it is stated that it is a muzzle loading season, it is required to be loaded from the muzzle.
Okay.
A breech action load is considered a rifle in a sense. It's almost considered not necessarily a center fire, but it's not considered a muzzle loader. Anything that is loaded from the muzzle is considered a muzzle loader. And so that's one thing you usually look at. It's not really took in consideration a lot because most people, they already know if it's a muzzleloader season, they're going to need to load it from the muzzle anyways. Like I said, with knowing the regulations of the states, especially like, you know, Idaho, Oregon, Colorado, Washington, you know, places like that, in certain seasons in different zones and different areas require different setups also. You know, Washington last year for years, they've been a number 11, you know, exposed primer ignition system. Number 11 musket cap for years. Well, last year they changed their laws, you know, and a rule came in where they could use 209 primers. That changed the game 100% for that state. That opened up the realm. Of course, it boosted our business like crazy because for years we've been selling, you know, number 11 setups for them, and they everybody's wanting to switch over to the 209 primer now because, for one, it's easier to use. Two, you get a better ignition system, more reliable. And the third thing is it opens up the realm for all these newer powders that are out today that require that 209 setup, especially Blackhorn 209. So that's one of the big things that people kind of want to look at when they're getting into it. One of the key things I look at, too, is when people want to, you know, find out or look into getting a new muzzleloader, is really what kind of hunter are you? What are you looking for? And what kind of hunt are you intending to do? Like, are you a backpack hunter? Are you a steel hunter? Are you a stand hunter, blind? You know, are you going to be hiking, you know, 5-10 miles into the mountains looking for, you know, your game that you're after? We've kind of got platforms for every level of that style of hunting. So that's one of the things you want to look at, too. The distance you're looking at shooting, every one of the muzzleloaders that we manufacture here, they all got an MOA guarantee at 200 yards. A lot of guys in the industry don't offer that. We guarantee it from the factory. If it doesn't do it, you send it back, we'll make it do it. That is a MOA at 200 yards is considered 2 inches.
And that's where we'll pick up the conversation next week with Justin Perry of Knight Rifles. We'll get into bullets and powder recommendations, and remember Jim Shockey's television career made on hunting exclusively with a muzzleloader. And just in case you can't make it back next week at 10 or 10:30 for Nevada Wild on 99.1, part one and two of the conversation with Justin Perry will be available via the podcast. Go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, and you'll see the conversation there. And don't forget, keep listening. We're giving away a trip for six and two brand new Pointer shotguns, a cast and blast trip to Idaho. Keep listening to 99.1 FM Talk for more details. And we'll be back next week on Nevada Wild and available to you anytime at 991fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.